I am sure you have noticed, as I have, that always among a group of people there is someone who is a natural. And by that I mean somebody who is a natural athlete, a natural musician, even a mathematician. It is as if they were born with a gift that the rest of us did not get. Scott was one of my best friends growing up. We played Little League Baseball together. Scott could throw the ball further and more accurately than anybody I knew, and even the fastest base runners on the other teams would not challenge his arm. Just to watch him throw was a thing of beauty. I couldn't carry a tune in a bucket. In fact, if you looked up that expression, you would find my name and my picture right next to it on Google. And I actually have the story to tell you so. When I was about 8 years old, my mother took me to Kent Lutheran Church. It was the nearest Lutheran church. It was the one we attended. She wanted me to be in the children's choir that fall. I was old enough. The director of the children's choir had me sing Three Blind Mice. She looked at my mother and said, this is a true story, you know, I believe his afternoons would better be spent playing football than singing. My mother was offended. I was overwhelmed with rejoicing. But I must tell you, I envied Denise, who sat next to me in my class in the third grade. Denise could sing, and even as a third grader who couldn't sing, you always wanted to be next to her when you went to singing period. I don't know if they still have those periods, but I know as a boy we hated that. We'd rather be in gym. But to listen to Denise sing was truly a wonderful gift. Then there was Brian. Brian was a whiz kid. He had the gift for numbers, multiplication and long division. He was my nemesis. I don't know, those of you who are my age and older will remember the days when you learned multiplication tables by standing next to some desk, and it was between you and that kid when the teacher gave the flashcard, 4 times 4, and the first person to answer, 16, got to go to the next desk. You know, and you just hoped you'd make it all the way around the room. But it never happened because Brian was there. I even prayed that he'd be sick. We did this on Friday afternoons. You know, I prayed that he'd be sick one Friday. Please, God, one freaking Friday, okay? He could do it. And long division. And then there was Alvina. Alvina was the person I wanted to be because she could draw. She could draw everything and everyone in our third grade class. She was always the person the teacher asked to draw those big murals, you know, like the Thanksgiving mural, you know, with the pumpkins and the pilgrims, you know. And she was so good she could put other kids' faces on the pilgrims. She was, you know, and I, you know, I always thought to myself, you know, she could have made a lot of money because, and again, I apologize to younger people. They probably don't even know what a matchbook is. But in those days, they had matchbooks and those advertisements about earn $1,000 if you can draw this dog. Oh, I mean, some people are just naturals. They're born with a gift. And that may be what you're thinking right now when we start talking about saints. Not Peter, Paul, and Mary Magdalene. But saints like you and me, saints like Richard and Paul and Caratu and Alma, you're thinking that, oh, you know, if somebody's got to be a saint, you know, they must be born with a gift. But they're not. Saints are made, not born. Saints are made in the waters of holy baptism. Right there in the waters of holy baptism, God gives to you the gift of grace. You will need nothing else but the gift of grace. It is a gift given to you in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit. And it is in the giving of that gift of the waters of holy baptism that God gets a hold of you. You see, they say your name. And you know when somebody knows your name, they can get a hold of you. You ever had that experience? You're walking down a busy, crowded city sidewalk and somebody says, "Wayne," and you immediately, in the midst of that, turn around. You heard that. God can get a hold of you. So right now, I just want you to know, I want you to think about this. God can get a hold of you, and you are equipped, because all you need is that baptismal grace. Now, granted, that baptismal gown that you're wearing, that baptismal gown of grace, I'm looking at it right now, and I know how soiled and stained and tattered and torn it is, but that's not a bad thing, because you have that gift of grace, and in the waters of holy baptism, God has made you a saint. I know you don't think of yourself as a saint. I know I do. I think of myself as a saint. I have proof of that. This past weekend, we had a confirmation retreat. We reenacted the Last Supper. Guess who played Jesus? You knew that, didn't you? Okay, all right. I don't think of myself as a saint. And I have to say, most of the time, I don't think of you either as a saint. And just to point that out, let's just be clear about this, okay? How many of you know Richard Gangs? Now, Richard and his wife Shirley went to the 8 o'clock service. They went to the 8 o'clock service forever, okay? Shirley died several years ago, and Rich died this past January. But I'm sure there's some of you here who knew Rich Gangsday. Okay, so you're going to understand when I say this. Rich came to the 8 o'clock service. He sat right where Paul Whitfield is sitting. He sat there every Sunday. He never missed a Sunday. And when he couldn't drive himself, somebody from the 8 o'clock service drove him there. And, you know, Rich was a great guy, okay? Rich was a great guy. And when the Huskies lost, he'd come out of the service and he'd say, and he had this hound dog look on his face, and you just know he wanted to use, you know, some kind of expletive, but he didn't. He just wanted to just bemoan the fact that the Huskies lost. And now if he was here today, and you would know this, if anybody had ever gone up to him and said, "Rich, you're a saint," he would have looked at you like you were crazy. He would have. Me? No, yeah. No, not a chance, not a chance, right? But he was. He was because in the waters of holy baptism, God made him a saint. God said, "You are my child, Rich, and you have the gift of grace, and that's all you need." That gift of grace. You born again with the gift of grace. Alma Nelson. A lot of people know Alma. Alma would be sitting right over where Jessica is sitting. Alma came here for years and years and years. You know, I love to tell this story because Alma was my first adult baptism. Alma came here with her high school friend, Ruth Holman. They had, by coincidence, moved into Bayview Manor at the same time, and they just rekindled that high school girlfriend thing. You know, both of them are in a retirement community center. Ruth was a dyed-in-the-wool Lutheran, and so she brought Alma with her. And for years, Alma came with her. In fact, we gave Alma and Ruth a job in the office. They would go through all of those cards in the pew racks that you fill out, keeping track of who took communion, who didn't, this, that, and the other thing, who needed prayer and whatever else. And they did this for years, and then one day they walked into my office after doing this, and Ruth said, "Alma wants to get baptized." Alma's 72 years old. And I was like blown away. She'd been attending here for a couple of years. I was blown away. She wanted to get baptized. Alma said, "What do I have to do?" And I told her, we said, "We're going to, you know, meet, we're going to talk a little bit about this, you know, and then you'll, you know, we'll have a service and you'll be baptized." So I don't want to get baptized in the service. I said, "Well, everybody gets baptized. I don't want to get baptized in the service." "Okay, all right, you don't have to get baptized in the service. We'll do it in the chapel. It'll just be Ruth and you and me." And so at 72, Alma got baptized. Now, Alma was the most prim and proper person you'd ever want to know. And those of you who know what I'm talking about. Alma was a very private, very discreet person. When Ruth died, before Alma's death, several years before Alma's death, I went down to do a memorial service at Bayview in their chapel. And afterwards, we went for coffee and the kind of thing that you do. And Alma came up to me and she grabbed me by the arm and she started pulling me toward the library. There's the reception area at Bayview and then there's the library. She pulls me to the library, says, "I have something I want to show you." And she had some pretty faded black and white photographs in an album of she and Ruth when they were in high school in Aberdeen in the late 30s. I didn't know what to say. I am looking at two women in two-piece bathing suits on a 1937 Chevy. There is Alma. There is Ruth. I don't know what to say. Never in my wildest dreams, and Alma's turning the pictures and going, see that? You know, and I'm like, oh, I have nothing to say. Alma could tell I had nothing to say. I mean, it was really evident, you know. And with a twinkle in her eye, she's pointing to she tells me that when Ruth was 16, her parents gave her a car. And that she and Ruth loved nothing more than to drive around Aberdeen in their bathing suits, quote unquote, to make the boys crazy. I still had not found my voice. All I was thinking about was trying not to say something that would, you know, cross one of the ELCA boundaries that you're not supposed to cross. And Alma points to this picture, and she looks at me, and she says, I was no saint then. Another person who would not have thought of herself as a saint. Do you think of yourself as a saint? If you don't, you should. Because you were made a saint in the waters of holy baptism and given the gift of grace. And God put you in a family. And there's probably nothing harder than being in a family to practice grace. But you have the gift, and you have God with you. And if it wasn't enough, God, just to show you that God has a sense of humor, according to Will Willimon, former bishop in the Methodist Church and campus pastor at Duke University, God also put you in a church family. And if you think it's hard to be a saint in your family, try being in a church family. Go ahead, take a position of leadership on the council. Go ahead and suggest that you want to change something about quilting. Just try that and see what happens. Grace is always under pressure. Saints are people who live with that grace under pressure. And I don't know who you're thinking about this morning. Whoever that person was in your life that inspired your deeper and continued trust in God, that who encouraged you at a time of great discouragement or even despair, I don't know who that is for you. But I know this, that person never thought of him or herself as being a saint. You are a saint. Not born, but made in the waters of baptism. You have the gift of grace. Do your best to use it up, for it is the gift that continues to be given to us every time we come to this table, every time we are fed and nourished with the very body and blood of our dear Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We hear again those same promises that were given to us in baptism. This is given and shed for you for the forgiveness of sins, for the victory over death and the devil, for life everlasting. You have it all. You are a saint. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.